please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 352. My name, as always, is Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my lovely and talented co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, streaming live for South by Southwest at koop.org. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. On the show today, we have the Spectrum Theater Company and talking about their production, Crowns. And then later on, we'll have Cat T, and we'll be talking about Marie Antoinette. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and Austin again. Two Austins. Stick with us. Okay, I got to cut this out while they're talking. This took me a little bit longer than I thought it was going
to
take.
I think you said the 24th, and it's supposed to be the 16th.
Oh, did I say the 24th?
Yeah, it's
March
16th.
I said February 24th because that's what it says on my piece of paper because I cut and paste.
You're still living in the past.
That has to be March 16th for those of you that are not as crazy.
Don't take me back.
Yeah, please. We're going to stay. We're done with February. So, Nicole, I'm checking in with you. Great job hosting last week.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It was fun. It was fun. It was weird. It's not that I don't know how to do it, but it was weird with you here
because it's always
doing
weird.
It.
It's always weird with me here.
No, it was just weird being in the lead while you were here. But it was fun.
But you did a great job.
Well, thank you very much.
I didn't intimidate you
I'm
at
no
all.
I know Lisa Sheps.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, you are Lisa Sheps.
Not quite.
You. I thought you said I know Lisa Sheps.
I said,
and
I
you do
am
know me.
No Lisa Sheps.
Anyway, thanks to Tracy Schultz for another wonderful remix. He did a really good job interviewing all those South by people. He was very busy out there with his field recorder and stuff.
He's been posting away. I'm like, oh boy, you're like, I don't know how he flashes from one venue to the next, but he's pretty quick.
I didn't see the post because I don't see posts.
Well, I saw it.
I don't see posts. So let's introduce our guests here in the studio. We have Matt Frazier. Hi.
Hello, hello.
I'm going to try to go in order. Indigo Real.
Hello.
Judy Arnold.
Hello.
Billy Harden.
Hello.
And a wonderful Lowell Bartholomew.
Hello.
What was I going to talk about? Where's my list? Oh, the weather is frightful. The weather is nice today.
Oh, I love it.
It's hot yesterday. That's it. That's the official weather. Official weather report.
Sounds good.
Okay, we did have an opening on Broadway this week.
Yes, you and I were both excited about it.
We were?
No, I was being facetious.
Oh yeah, no, we weren't.
I wasn't unexcited, but I was kind of like, okay.
It's called Blackbird, and it's an odd. It got reasonably good notices across the board, but it just doesn't seem interesting.
There's nothing that
to
makes me excited. I know, and there's good people in the cast, and I'm still like,
Yeah. So speaking of good people in the cast, it's
Jeff Daniels,
and Michelle Williams. Very good. Jeff Daniels and Michelle Williams. It's a two-person play. It tells the story. And this is the part that I have problems with. So this man sexually abused. He was 40. She was 12.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, makes you want to run there, right?
And he was sent to jail. And after he got out, he created a new life for himself with a new name. She saw him. She saw him. Mazel tov. She saw him in some newspaper or something and then traced him down in his office. And the whole thing takes place in his office. And it's billed as a love story.
And they're billing it as
they loved each other even back then. And I'm sorry, it just creeps me out.
Gross.
They did a production of that at Hyde Park.
a couple years ago, I guess, before.
Blackbird?
Yeah.
I don't think so. This is a premiere.
It's a Broadway premiere.
Well, you know, well, that.
I mean, it made like the regional circuit for a little bit. I guarantee.
I second that. I agree with Lowell. Bing.
All right.
I saw the poster.
It's not on their Wikipedia page, but I will. That's interesting. Well, I wish I'd known that. I would have.
You would have gone to see it there then?
It may have still been like in the development stage.
This is not anything I would want to go see.
I was like, it's the subject I don't think you were so keen on.
Well, that's very interesting. I'm going to have to look that up and maybe talk to a Ken Webster. That's big news.
I was like, we'd find out from the Ken Webster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say this. The still images are interesting.
They are interesting.
Because it looks like it's a movie set. It looks like it's a movie, not a show.
The set sets place in like an office break room, and it's got a linoleum drop. Not linoleum. It's got the drop ceiling. It really looks like it does.
It looks like a movie. A movie. At first, I was like, "Wait, is this really a?" I had to like stop. My eyes were playing tricks on me. So
Jeff Daniels doesn't look like Jeff Daniels either, to me.
No, but I'd probably get like 5 minutes of checking it all out, looking what's going on, and I'd be good to leave.
Well, so here's some of the things that Elizabeth Vincinelli of the New York Post said. Had Michelle Williams made her Broadway debut in Blackbird instead of Cabaret, she would have been hailed as a new major stage star.
Oh?
So that's pretty good.
Did the old research department over there?
2008. Okay, it wasn't just a couple years ago.
Okay, so yeah, it's interesting.
Research department. Well,
it won the Olivier Award in 2007 in London.
Well, that makes sense.
That's interesting. And who was in it?
Ken Webster.
Of course. Who played the girl?
She's not here anymore, and I can't pronounce her name, and I'm not going to try it on the air.
Was it?
Her last name was Romero.
Romero,
the first name has an X.
Diego Romero.
How about Lady Romero?
Oh, Jamara. Yeah, I'm going to say Jamara.
Let's go with that.
Let's see. In the Time Out New York says... Blackbird is a comfortless 80-minute reckoning of arrested time and soiled innocence.
Yeah. That's a powerful sentence.
Yeah.
Under fluorescent lights, too.
Under fluorescent lights. So, again, it won the Olivier. And there was a couple of things that I wanted to say that I put in here. So in 2007, they said that Jeff Daniels delivered the felt like the performance of his career.
Oh, really?
And for her, the New York Times says it's definitely a bravura performance. So it's interesting. So then
it's a limited run. I don't think it's going to extend.
Well, you never know.
I know.
It's got really good notices, but it just... seems icky to me. I don't know how they can make it nice. Did you see it, Lowell, when it was here?
I did.
Did you work on it?
No.
Okay.
So does it make it nice, or is it a love story? What are your thoughts?
Oh, boy.
Well, I can so see Ken Webster playing this, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I can so see it.
Okay.
No, he's got that.
We'll open
he's
that
got
one
it.
Up.
Nope, nope. And I would say it to his face.
Yes. No, he was great in it. And she was great in it.
Shoshi.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Her. Shoshi. You don't know who we're talking about out there, but we do.
Yeah. Shoshi Romero.
Yeah.
Lady Romero.
Ms. Romero.
No, it was good. I think it was still in the development. I remember after the show saying they had rewritten the ending and he did not approve. So, you know.
Who did not approve?
Ken.
Oh. Okay.
That's probably why they kept him off the Wikipedia.
So next time Ken's on, we'll have to ask him what the original ending versus the other ending. Get down to business, hard-hitting news. Let's figure this out.
There you go. So the other thing opening off-Broadway at...
lots of off-Broadways.
Lots of off-Broadway. But
and that I found interesting.
And that Nicole found interesting. At the Public is a redo, or actually first time in New York and first time at the Public, was Southern Comfort. Now, you and I talked about this on the show back in 2011.
Yes.
And it was actually show number 116, and we're now on...
Oh, you actually looked up the show number. Research. Research department is working hard today.
I knew we had talked about it. So Southern Comfort tells the story of Robert Eanes, who is a transsexual man who... This is a interesting story. I mean, an interesting and sad story. So in 1996 or 97, he contracted ovarian cancer. And he went to some 12 different doctors who refused to treat him because he was transgender. It took him over a year to find a hospital that would treat him. And by that time, the cancer had spread so far that he could not survive it. His one goal before dying was to visit a conference called Southern Comfort that takes place in Atlanta every year, of which I have attended several of them.
I was about to say, have you attended?
I've been many, many times. And he made it. And right after that Southern Comfort program, he passed away in Southern Comfort happens in the fall, and he passed away in January. But it tells the story of this family that he built up in the Appalachia or somewhere.
I think you are correct on the Appalachia. Yeah.
And this is a musical that was written, and it's been about 10 years in the making, so it's not new. And again, they had productions. We were talking about it in 2011.
They based it more on the documentary film.
Correct.
Than just all in general of the story. There was a documentary film, I think it was 2001?
Yep.
2002? Won mm-hmm. a lot of awards at Sundance, if I remember.
Yeah, it's a great documentary. I'm
yes,
sure
it won
it's probably
the
available.
Grand Jury Prize. Oh. At Sundance Film Festival.
Sometimes, like when I went to go see a grand jury, it wasn't good to win a prize.
Yeah.
Dun, bum. Oh, okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, but they said, that, at least in the Times, he said they really found a home for this at the Ashbacher Theater.
It's got Annette O'Toole in it. Come on, right. That's
so he
awesome.
Says, never has this space felt more intimate and exciting.
Well, I like the sentence, the cast is entirely winning.
Yes.
That's short, sweet, and that doesn't happen often. I'm like, yeah.
So Annette O'Toole plays Robert Eads. And the who wrote this? Charles Isherwood. Didn't even know it was her until later.
That's crazy, isn't
it? And he says, it's not a matter of mere cosmetics, although Miss O'Toole looks quite like the lanky Robert did in the film, with a sprig of beard on her chin, and a mustache lining her lip. More important, Ms. O'Toole has disappeared inside her character, drawing a moving, indelible portrait of a man who retains an unflappable spirit even as death draws near.
Yeah, I really would like to see this.
Yeah. 19 songs.
Just about
in
to
it.
Say there's a lot of music in it.
And that's probably the one negative in the review was they might want to pare down.
Well, they said there's a lot song. Of reprises going on.
Mm. Yeah. With 19 songs and reprises.
Yes.
Totally. I found it very interesting. And I actually went back last time we talked about this, we played some music from Southern Comfort, the title song. And I went back and listened to it again today.
And I was thinking to myself, I don't know if I know any of the music. Apparently, I do.
You do? Well, no. You would have to remember from back in 2011.
But it's
something
it's not,
I don't do very well.
It's not open that long, so I don't think I'm going to get up to see
it. Well, you never know. It might. Have a extension.
It's closing in like a week. So if it's extending, it just opened last month. It was a short.
Yeah, they typically
engagement.
Do,
so
they typically do.
I don't think it's happening.
So the other interesting show off Broadway is The Robber Bridegroom. Which
yes.
I know nothing about it, but it sounds fascinating. And
I thought you had brought this up to me, but you hadn't. Maybe
no,
I thought you were talking to me about Stephen Pasquale and his other show. But that must have been a conversation I had with someone else then.
Must have been. But The Robert Bridegroom is sort of a combination of Grimm's fairy tale and what do they say? Grimm's fairy tale and somebody else, but it's a very sort of dark storytelling things. Anybody know the show or heard it, seen it or anything?
Nope.
Fascinating. It's actually, it's based on a 1942 novella by Eudora Welty, and it's got a Robin Hood-like hero. Blah, 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 blah. It was on Broadway in 1975 and in 1976.
Oh, yeah, you know who was in the original one?
Yes.
Kevin Kline and Patti LuPone.
Yes.
Mm.
And then it also had a life. It was written by, we should say, Alfred Urey, who also wrote Parade.
Correct.
And Robert Waldman did the music. In 1975, it ran for like three performances.
Yeah,
closed, it went out of town, it went on a tour, and it came back and opened again in 76 and ran for not a whole bunch more, like 120.
It's a bunch more than three. It's a big difference than three.
Yes, I will totally agree with that. I don't think nominated, you're going to previews at three.
Yeah, nominated for Best Book and Best Performance by Ms. Patti LuPone, Tony Awards in 75 and in 76. It was Tony Award won by Barry Bostwick for leading actor.
Barry. He makes me laugh.
But so this is it's a musical, and it's got...
they have a bluegrass band on stage.
Little bluegrass. And even...
five or six piece.
Ben Brantley says, but even those who are allergic to Southern fried shtick...
That would be one. Lisa Sheps.
Are unlikely to go away feeling totally empty. So he says that even if you're not crazy about country music, you're going to sort of like this.
Okay, bluegrass and country, not the same.
Okay, whatever.
totally different.
To me, they sound the same. So that's all I can go on. So this was written by the same guy that wrote Here Lies Love.
Yes, and worked on
Rocky.
One Rocky Das Musical. I love that. Did you know there was a full size regulation boxing ring?
I heard that. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. One of the characters' name is Salome, I guess is how it's pronounced.
That's a great name.
She has a predilection for tearing off the heads off baby pigs.
Nice. Oh, well, I do that in my spare time too.
So this is quite macabre, but it's also it brings up some interesting questions, but doesn't ask you to think deep.
I like that.
Oh, thank God.
So here it says if you choose, you're free to draw lessons about the nature of love versus lust and romance versus marriage. But Robert Bridegroom is not asking you to think deep. Mostly, it just clomps, two steps and square dances along its relentlessly exuberant way with sprightly choreography by Connor Gallagher. Hmm. Or as I like to call him, Connor Gallagher.
Connor Gallagher.
It's my Irish.
He's part of my people.
So that's very interesting. It sounds like something I would like to see.
I find it interesting. I don't know. I wouldn't go in telling you, I'm really going to like it or not. I have no clue. But I think it sounds very interesting.
It does. It sounds extremely interesting. Let's see if there's anything else I wanted to say. No.
Depends on how many baby pigs' heads get ripped off during the show. <That's true. laughs>
Do you have a limit or a minimum?
There's a bar they'd have to cross.
You have to have a really strong grip for that, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's not like chickens.
Well, there's lots of mounted animals on the wall.
And there is a character. One of the actors plays a beheaded person. Nice. So just
that's
a head.
Fun.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it's that old shtick when the... Uh-huh. On the cart.
It's a theme show today.
apparently, they brought up the lights in the mason jars. They kept talking about the lighting.
Right.
A few times in there. The crucial lighting. The great lighting. This lighting. Apparently, the lights in the mason jars, who did the inner, really made Brantley excited.
Yeah. And the set done by Danielle Wuerl is a cross between a set for Hee Haw and Dickens.
Yes. Isn't that great? That sounds fascinating.
It does
to
sound
me.
Fascinating. I'm all over that.
Yeah.
All right.
Me too.
Very quickly, I don't know anything about this, didn't read it, but you wanted to talk about this Brodsky Baryshnikov.
Because it's Baryshnikov.
It's a one-man show starring Baryshnikov.
It's Baryshnikov.
Okay, so what is it?
He's basically reading all the poems of and works of Brodsky. Hang it down there, but I laughed.
I had an orthopedic surgeon named Dr. Brodsky. Is it the same guy?
Did you? No, but I had, and I don't sit with him at football either since I...
Actually, Dr. Brodsky and Dr. Klein know each other.
Oh, well then I sit with Dr. Brodsky's friends at football. So there you go. But I laughed because in the review, wasn't the word you chose last week, wasn't it oeuvre? Or was it the week before?
It was something.
Yeah, well he...
Back?
He threw it back in here. It's... In beer. But they were talking about how beautiful when he's talking about, incidentally, said the poem that begins, that Baryshnikov starts with, is mentions ballet. And they said the line, the classical ballet, let's say, it's beauty's keep. They say it's just so touching to see Baryshnikov in this moment on the stage talking. I don't know. He's gotten some light stuff. But he does speak in some different languages. There are subtitles. The set... I've seen some pictures of the set where it looked really complex and then it looked really simple. I don't know. I would like to see, not that, you know, Brodsky's calling to me, but I would like to see Baryshnikov alone on a stage doing some acting stuff. And
he's quite the actor.
He is quite an actor.
From what I saw when he was in Ally McBeal,
Ally McBeal,
that's the only thing I've seen him act
City.
In. Or, Sex in the City, sorry.
Yeah.
Is there really a difference?
Yeah. Totally.
I know.
But I just, I mean, I find him such a fascinating individual. I don't know.
Yeah. Cool. Where is it playing? And is it a limited run?
It is a limited run. And I will tell, yeah, it closes in like 2 or 3 days. It is closing on the 19th, and it is at the Baryshnikov Art Center.
There you go.
Where Austin Shakespeare did On Rand's Anthem off Broadway. There you go.
So I'm gonna talk about this for just a little second because we're running late, but I have a word, so I wanna bring it up.
See, I couldn't.
So people can go to the website offstageonair.com and see this whole article about the actress Patty Murren, who was in Nerds, which was in a slightly Rebecca type fashion. Canceled its Broadway run at the last minute. They were already
Rebecca
in rehearsal.
Like fashion. It was great reference.
But there was stuff on the Broadway.com message boards that were, you know, they were talking about the comments and how rude they are. And she did a tirade and about how people shouldn't be so ugly and mean on message boards. And you can read the whole thing on our site. But the in this article written by Michael Paulson, he says, and I think we've had this word before, so this will be a test for those of you who listen to the show. So this is a word that we don't know what it means, but it finds its way in something, so I have to look it up in a dictionary. Patty Murren, who is a star in the Broadway musical called Nerds this spring, on Thursday posted a lengthy cri de coeur objecting to some of the comments. What is a cri de coeur? Cri de coeur.
Cry from the heart.
Well, pretty much passionate cry or passionate appeal.
Translates to French pretty.
All right. All right. So very quickly, I'm going to do the little quiz that we've done. I've talked about this theater quiz that I take, and I've been bringing it in. So we're going to quiz everybody here. Mm-hmm. I got 4 out of 5.
I feel like I failed this section last week because I did not include this.
It's okay. So here we go. The Mel Brooks musical, The Producers, ended a 6-year run on Broadway in which year? 2005, 2006, or 2007?
Six.
Seven.
Five.
Seven.
I'll say six.
Judy wins.
Oh. Seven.
2007. Yes.
What is Lionel Bart's real name? Okay, here's the deal. I got this one wrong. Lionel Blair, Lionel Belcher, Lionel Begleiter, and here, for extra points, who's Lionel Bart?
I'm going to go with Begleiter.
I'm
going to
go with Belcher.
Belcher.
That's what I said.
And what is
Notice
it?
I was wrong. Do we know who Lionel Bart is?
No.
No.
Yeah, I don't either. So Lionel Begleiter.
Boom.
Begleiter.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a good name.
Okay, the song Springtime for Hitler belongs to the score of which Broadway show? This is a freebie. The Scarlet Pimpernel, Victor Victoria, or The Producers?
The Producers.
The Producers.
The Producers.
There was a high school play that was doing The Producers. It was just in the news this week where they refused to let them do it because they showed a swastika.
Did they watch the set? So they're allowed to do The Sound of Music, but they're not allowed to do that?
The interesting thing, the interesting thing is there's been a lot of very successful producers, regional theater productions of producers that use a sort of a different, it's not the swastika, but it sort of represents it. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. Mm. What won the best musical in the 2008 Tony Awards? Crybaby, Xanadu, or In the Heights?
In the Heights.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one. Xanadu, best musical.
Yeah, I was just about to go, first of all.
Mm-hmm. The production of The History Boys, which transferred from London to Broadway in 2006, was a production by the Donmar Warehouse, the National Theatre, or the Royal Shakespeare?
The History Boys?
History Boys.
Was it Shakespeare or Donmar? Donmar, maybe, right?
Neither of those two. So,
by process of elimination, that would be B.
Yeah. All right, we are not going to have time to do this, but just very quickly, the Angela Merkel,
because
we didn't do
Merkel
it last
in.
Week. I'm going to play just the very beginning of the Angela Merkel version of Hamilton.
How does a female Fräulein heir of a Pole and a pastor raised in the wake of a Second World War in Eastern Germany? Did confidence empower little Angela to turn into a chemist?
Okay.
You didn't even get her going, Angela.
Now, the video is on our site, offstageonair.com. You can see the whole video. So that'll give you an idea of what it is. It's really, really fun. So by the way, today is a politics show because I felt politicky. So the first song that we played coming in.
Is that because the First Lady is here?
That's exactly
and
why.
POTUS was
the
here? Fir-
the first song
the
I
Queen.
Played. Okay.
France.
Keep going.
Sorry.
Anything else? All right. Now I'm just giving it. The first song I played was from Summer of My German Soldier, which is a really freaky show about a Jewish girl in the during the World War II hiding and protecting a German POW.
What? When was that?
2000. I don't know. It was an Encore Theater Company. It was called Politics in the Heart.
Hmm.
So we're going to do the trivia question now, which we will give the trivia answer now, and the answer will be given at the first, at the beginning of Backstage at Offstage. So you have to get the podcast to get the answer. Go.
Okay. It's about Barbara Cook. So Barbara Cook starred in 1963, She Loves Me. She played Amelia, the store clerk who doesn't know the coworker which she works with and squabbles is her pen pal. Jerry Brock and Sheldon Harnick wrote over 20 wonderful songs for this show that has become a beloved cult classic. One of Amelia's finest numbers is Will He Like Me? Which earlier number did this song replace? A. Heads I Win. B. Seasonal Pleasure. C. Tell Me I Look Nice. D. Christmas Eve. Or E. Hello Love.
Ah, good one. Good one. Good one. It's funny. Sheldon Harnick was just on Terry Gross talking about She Loves Me.
Because it's getting ready to open and it's awesome.
That's true. All right. So we're gonna go off and take a little break. And I'm going to play the whole piece of this. This is Politics being as Lin-Manuel Miranda. So this is all politics, all Hamilton. He did, I don't know if people saw this. It was, he was at the White House. He did a freestyle rap with POTUS and Obama was holding cards with words on it. And that video is available on the POTUS site. It's also linkable
it's
on
everywhere.
Our site. Everywhere. This is, so does everybody seen it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well then this will be, redundant.
No, I think it'll be exciting.
All right, drop the beat. He's throwing up some words. I'm gonna say some freestyling that you never heard. Constitution, the POTUS. I'm freestyling, you know this. Obamacare, okay, I'm looking up because it was hopeless. The more you enacted that system, the Federalist Papers. Hamilton wrote the other 51 and greater. And Sonny and Bo is canine. It's insane, asinine. Oh my God, I'm freestyling down the line. NASA, I wanna see if we can get over to Mars and wrap more bars or spit bars and leave a carbon footprint on it and lower my emissions. And this is Lin-Man freestyling in the Congress. This is transmission. I hope in Congress works to our agenda. Innovation's important. You really gotta send to yourself and create something. We need a new justice for the Supreme Court. In short, oh my gosh, this is my book report. And immigrants, we get the job done. This is so fun. POTUS is holding up the signs. I'm not done. It's the Oval Office. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm there. It's so much more intimidating than if it was square. Opportunity knocks and I can't stop. I'm here with the president and my pops. And yo, the mic drops.
How good is that? That's, you think that's going viral? That's going viral. Yes, sir.
I did not see those words.
We are back. I love that Hamilton thing.
You just love that Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Well, I think he's quite a talented young man. And if he works hard, he may get
he
somewhere.
He might, Lisa. Maybe. I think you're on to something.
Yep. Well, so once again, you are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We've been talking to Indigo Real, Matt Frazier, Lowell Bartholomew, Billy Harden, and Judy Arnold. And right now we're going to switch and we're going to talk to the folks from Cap T and their show Marie Antoinette, which is right now playing at the Off Center Theater. Who wants to tell me about this show? And we should say that this is directed by a familiar last name, if not a familiar first name.
And who would that be?
Who directed your
show? Rosalind Fares, the daughter.
Rosalind Fares, wow. Yes.
Rosalind. I've known Miss Rosalind since she was Peanut. I've known her. So it's Judy. You've known her since Peanut Land. Yeah.
I think she's grown up in the theater, so.
Yeah, she's she's a lovely young woman and a person besides.
Yes. She's a person also, yes.
Besides being a
great. So this is part of Capital T's new up-and-coming director project.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is her first paid gig as a director, which is amazing because she's like a pro already.
Well,
as speaking from someone who's been working with her, yes, she's
so
great.
Tell me about the show, somebody.
Well, I'm playing Marie Antoinette, the Queen of France, and it's written by David Adjemi, and he's written a play that, in kind of the same vein as Sofia Coppola's film, it really portrays Marie Antoinette as a person, who has been saddled with this responsibility and this world to carry that is really too much for a person. I'm on stage for 90 minutes and I have like every other word. So
that's a lot of words.
It's a lot of words. And it hit me like after our first show, I was like, oh my gosh, this play is about democracy. It's not really about me at all. It's about like why we don't have kings and queens anymore. It's too right. much pressure.
No, they want to let us eat cake. We're going to take a really quick tangent here. And Lowell, I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to ask you to choose a number between 10 and 45.
37.
Why 37? Yeah, I was thinking.
You said just pick a number.
Sometimes people I'm really only asking you that to stall for time while I.
Oh, I get it.
She's on
the
number 37. New updated CD
it's
player.
Not as fast
as
our old
longer.
CD player. Here we go. Let's see what it is.
Hi, I'm Caressa Cameron, Miss America 2010, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
Caressa Cameron.
Okay, we haven't heard her in a long time.
We haven't. So this is about democracy. It's about Marie Antoinette. Mm-hmm. But this is sort of a the pictures look interesting. This is a sort of a modern take on it.
Yes, they really chose to, and she really stripped it down as far as the set and any transitions. The actors, all the cast is on stage all the time. We're on side benches, except for me. I never sit down, but everybody else is right there.
You're ready. The title character.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to reference them on the sidelines when they're actually not in the scene, and I can look over to them and be like, "You, I'm talking about you right now." So
okay,
go ahead. I was just gonna say it's a wonderful cast. I love them.
And Matt, you play the sheep.
I do.
What does that mean exactly?
I am a talking sheep that comes to wax philosophical. He and Maria are alone. Yeah.
The sheep that I count at night wax philosophical.
True, and he does reference that too. He's like, it's a great way to get sleep.
Oh,
so ultimately he's got like great life tips too.
So what's his role in what is his role in Marie Antoinette's life? Is he like the just advising her on the process of eating pastry?
Well, he really more so comes at those pivotal moments for her where something drastic is about to change or a big change in her life is coming, especially in the beginning. His first scene is right when she's asked her husband why he won't give her a child. So gets interesting.
That's not very nice of him.
And it's performed with a puppet that actually I made it. I made the puppet.
It's so amazing.
So is it a marionette type of puppet?
No, it's it's built from chicken wire, so it's like a full-size sheep.
Okay. Oh, an FSS, we like to call right. that. Yes. Why don't y'all swing that microphone over here temporarily so y'all can each have a microphone? There
it's,
you go.
It's got definitely,
the poor kids are sharing a microphone. They're having
it's definitely a real workout, too, because it's probably about 20 pounds.
It's heavy. I'm sorry, Matt.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's so funny, too, because seeing it sort of grow and get bigger and heavier and even more interesting, I was like, oh.
So we talked earlier, and I put you on the spot about perhaps doing a little scene. Can we do that?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
So set the scene up.
Well, Marie has just moved into her Luchamo. It's a little palace that she built for herself to become more in tune with nature, while the rest of her people are starving. But she doesn't really care about all that.
Okay. So this is Indigo Real and Matt Fraser doing a scene from Captee's production of Marie Antoinette.
Comment allez-vous?
Oh my God!
Eh.
Who are you?
A sheep.
You're the sheep from the other day.
Oui.
Do we know each other?
Oh, you remember me, Antoine.
Antoine? That's what the Habsburgs call me. I don't know any sheep from Austria. And the Duchess de Polignac will be back
Pet me.
What?
Please. Pet me.
I pet you already. Go graze or something. Mm-hmm. You're very recalcitrant.
I'd like to be pet lots.
You're very fleecy.
Yes, you could shear me, too.
Oh, I'd like that. Then I'd be like a real shepherdess.
Marie, I thought I'd share something with you.
What is it, sheep? Oh my God, a poem. Oh, how sweet.
And then we probably shouldn't read the poem.
Oh, the poem is foul. Okay, and scene.
We have lots of rules.
And scene.
And scene.
Okay, so this sounds like a fun show. Is it fun?
It is.
It's so fun.
It's very fast-paced, no intermission, and I really sort of think it's something that once you sort of strap in, you're in.
We love the 90-minute shows. And Lowell, you are the sound designer.
Yeah, we're not usually invited to this kind of thing.
No, you aren't. So
I'm really kind of in shock.
So before we find out what you did for this, tell our audience what a sound designer in theater does. What is that?
It could entail any number of things. I mean, you're basically in charge of any sound that the actors aren't making. For sure. And then sometimes you are. I mean, I designed a show last year, the tree play. And
I saw it.
And most of the sound in there was designed using the actors on stage, like creating that there. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. But most of the time, you're just creating the whatever the sound.
Well, it's also it's a huge part of theater. And yeah. I think most people are very familiar when you've seen a lot of stuff about the movies and the sound design in movies and underscoring, where they'll show what a scene looks like with and without the sound, right, and how much layering and how much more.
It's really crazy, the yeah. difference.
And it's the same thing in theater, is it not?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. And this show is interesting because I think most of the time I approach it, I try to make sound as invisible as possible. I mean,
sure,
you hear it, but mm-hmm. you know, I don't necessarily want it to be something that you're like, oh, look what that had. Because if anything is pulling you out of what you're watching, then you've kind of messed up. The design in this one is a little more in your face.
Okay, tell us about it.
In the side of your face.
In both sides of your face.
So the goal with that, and this is the second time I've worked with, I'm a designer that's kind of straddled the line for Rosalind, because I did her last show in UT. Lovely. And then her first pro show. So I'm getting in early for hopefully continued employment, because she's going to be doing a bunch of stuff. Here and abroad, and I'm willing to go do that.
So tell us about the design of this show.
This one, the goal I had was just to kind of let the sound travel with where Marie goes from. So you start in this palace and you end, I don't want to spoil the ending.
Don't spoil
it. It ends very...
My head comes off.
Doesn't end very... Yeah, it's on the poster, isn't it? Yeah. So...
The poster, by the way, is great.
So you go from this kind of quiet and everything's very, you know, refined, and it ends the exact opposite of that. So it was kind of traveling that with your ears.
So it's linear in many ways.
In a way. It starts very early, because that sheep appears very early. And
I love the sheep.
You know things are not going to go well.
He's bagging his way into your heart.
So who else is in the show? You talked about a fabulous cast. Name.
Yeah, we have Claire Grasso of the Austin Playhouse fame. Delonte Keys, who's fabulous. He's Equity. We're fancy. we have Nicholas Sines, a film actor who does great work. Nick Mills, who teaches theater at Austin High and O. Henry Middle School. And we have Karina Dominguez, and also a 9-year-old student that I teach at Creative Action. And she's doing a great job.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And Winan.
And Winan Dang. Yeah, she's wonderful.
I was just about to give you a compliment for doing that all without notes, but you did need some help.
They're my family.
It was the sheep.
He's always there. He's always
helping.
Sheep
is always there. Sheep is always helping. So
you guys have already opened, correct?
Yes.
This is our last weekend, so get your tickets.
So the people have the option. They may
want to
get
tickets. If you want to.
Where is the play? And so you're playing one more weekend.
We have one more weekend, and it's at the Off Center, just south of 7th Street.
Okay. And where can one go? Where would one go to get information?
To get more information, you can go to capitalt.org.
Great. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Yes.
I hope y'all can stick around and join us backstage amongst the dumpsters.
Sure.
It's all sorts of fun.
Sounds good.
That'd be great. So that was Indigo Real, Matt Frazier and Lowell Bartholomew with CapT's production of Marie Antoinette at the Off Center Theater through March the 20th. For more information, you may visit capitalt.org. And, you know, Marie Antoinette always said, let them eat cake.
A slice of cake and a cup of tea. Soup's on Sally.
Okay, surprisingly enough, we're running late, so we'll do a very quick local section. I did want to mention that I saw 4,000 Miles that was on our show last week. A delightful show. And Christine Huang, who is on the board of Ground Floor Theater and a friend of mine, plays the most marvelous drunk character.
She was excited about talking about it, too.
Yeah, she was so much fun to watch. And I was so proud of her.
And I went to the theater this weekend, too.
What'd you see?
I went to the Hyde Park Theater and saw, speaking of Ken Webster, I went and saw The Realistic Joneses.
How was it?
I liked that.
They were also on the show that week.
And they were on the show that we went to. We had guests on the show, and we both went and saw the shows that week. That's pretty impressive.
We double-teamed them.
We're cool. I enjoy that show. And this is their, no, they have one more week after this weekend. So Hyde Park Theater.
Well, did you have anything?
I love that show, The Realistic Joneses.
Cool. Did you have anything you wanted to talk about locally?
I actually found this kind of cool. There is the Harry Ransom Center is doing some cool lectures this weekend. The 24th, actually next week. The 24th, they have the Austin Symphony music director, Peter Bay. And then a few days later...
I like Peter Bay.
I do too. Then a few days later, they're doing new insights into Shakespeare's life and career. And you know, they have that exhibit. And I just found them all. I was like, oh.
You like your Billy Shakespeare.
I like that Willie. I told you, there's two Willies, Nelson and Shakes.
Okay, let's go right into Today in Theater History, shall we?
We shall.
Tell
me more, Lisa.
So we're running themes here, politics and female impersonation. So in 1914, it is the, is it the birth or the death? It doesn't say. Female
impersonation. It was the beginning or the end.
Oh, no. It's the show, The Crinoline Girl, opened with a female impersonator, Julian Eltinge.
Julian Eltinge.
Here's a picture of her. She's gorgeous.
But she's a female impersonator.
She's a female impersonator. And so here's... I bring this up mainly because I've got a pet peeve and a style guide that Playbill.com should know better.
They, it's pretty.
It is insulting for a person, a trans person, even if they are a drag queen, to be referred to as S/he.
Oh, yeah, did that?
And they did that. So the...
Apparently they didn't update their terminology site last month.
No, they didn't. And I still don't like that site.
I don't like the new site either.
Trying to get used to it, though.
Me too.
1948, there was a double bill of one act at the Court Theater, Thornton Wilder's. The Happy Journey to Trenton and Camden, and Jean-Paul Sartre's The Respectful Prostitute.
Well,
there you go. It runs 318 performances. And really? 1948, that's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yep. By the way, Wicked became the third show in history to gross $1 billion.
I know, bananas, right? Actually, I'm not surprised by that.
And they did it faster than the others. Can anybody tell me what the others were?
The
Lion King.
And it's... I think it might be Cats, right? Cats. Phantom.
I just tried to mime a mask.
It was a Lloyd Webber. I knew
it
that
It was
one.
A Lloyd Webber. Okay. Let's see. In 1969, the show 1776 opens, keeping it with...
Was it that long ago? Well, yeah, the revival's this year too, isn't
it? Yep. Mm-hmm. It's opening this year. So Betty Buckley made her debut in that show.
I knew that.
I did not.
I did know that, yep. Crazily. I don't know why I did, though.
And let's see. 1997, Paul Vogel's How I Learned to Drive opens at the Vineyard and stars one Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah.
It transferred to the Century Theater and won the Pulitzer in 1998 for drama.
Interesting.
Now, even though it won that award, it closed without... it had a limited run and they did not extend. Yeah, you would think the Pulitzer... So maybe you're right about Blacklist or whatever the hell it's called.
Blackbird
singing in the dead of
night.
It's
so funny because that's all I think of is Beatles and the White Album when I hear that.
2003, Susan Laurie Parks. Who I always want to say Suzanne Laurie Parks. It's Susan Laurie Parks.
That's so funny. We were just talking about her earlier. Yep. And yesterday I was with her ex-husband.
She won a... Who's her ex-husband?
Paul Osher. Used to play harmonica for Muddy Waters.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew? I prefer clean waters. Just saying. I'm going to go swimming. Let's see. So Susan Laurie Parks has a new drama, won a Pulitzer the previous year. Many newspapers refused to print the title. Anybody know why? Anybody know the title?
Well, there was a few that...
F word A.
Yeah. I was like, there's a few... She's got a few plays with some bad words in the title.
But it's a new take on the Scarlet Letter, and it opened to the public.
Pretty
and
cool.
It starred Most Def. Daphne Ruben Vega, Bobby Cannavale, and Michael, and I never pronounce this right, Greif?
You know.
I meant to look it up before because I always mispronounce
it. Yeah, but now
it.
I'm teetering. I can't remember which one either because I get confused
so
by
Mitch
it.
So Mitch Lee, who wrote Man of La Mancha, died on this date in 2014.
Oh, that's sad.
He also wrote Cry for Us All, Home Sweet Homer. Sarava. So if anybody was in New York at the time Sarava came out, they would have known. They called it Sarava.
Sarava
prior to Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark was the longest, it had the record for the longest previews. It refused to open.
I think, and Spider-Man took just the like cake on that one.
Spider-Man did take the cake. Let them eat cake. Spider-Man, the critics ended up buying their own tickets and reviewing it and closed it. let's see. Today's birthdays, Henny Youngman.
Bon anniversaire.
Jerry Lewis. Hey, lady.
Yeah.
Victor Garber.
Oh, I love me some Victor.
Kate Nelligan.
Oh, Kate's a good one.
And local boy Daniel Klein.
Oh, well, then, you know.
Who was just last seen in First Date. Bon anniversaire. That's it. Oh, so we'll go
voila.
Away.
Keeping Do you want with, the trivia answer? Oh, no, because no, we're backstage again this
we're
week.
We're backstage.
Yes.
So keeping with the tradition of politics and today in theater history. 1776. And you know, 1776, this is a beautiful song from
17. There's great music from that show.
They've got two really pretty songs. Mm-hmm. He plays the violin, it's just gorgeous and melodic. And this one, which one of my favorites.
Mama, hey, mama.
And we are back. You're listening to.
I don't hear you.
No, you don't.
Okay, I was about to go.
I normally don't forget to turn my own microphone on.
No.
And we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We're now going to turn our attention to Spectrum Theater Company, Austin's only African-American theater company.
Yes,
currently.
Ma'am.
Hopefully not the only one forever.
I know.
And we have Billy Harden and Judy Arnold here.
Hey.
From the production of Crowns, which is a
Hello.
wonderful
another
show.
Great show with a lot of good music.
Yeah,
a lot of good music.
So Billy, tell us about the show. What is it?
So Crowns is written by Regina Taylor, and it is a story of a young African-American girl who grew up in Brooklyn, and her brother was shot in a drive-by, and so she then was sent to live in the South by her mother with her grandmother. And when she gets there, she encounters her grandmother, who is a really strong matriarchal type church woman who has herself been raised to adorn her head and wear hats. It's symbolic of crowns, which is a tradition that comes over from Africa and the African tradition. So the whole story is this young girl being indoctrinated by her grandmother and all of the other church ladies about the importance of adorning one's head and wearing crowns and being felt to be felt like a queen. And so she learns that
it's powerful.
Story. Very powerful.
To watch the journey, and it's powerful as an audience member. I enjoy it.
It's a fun show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun show, and the music is all gospel.
All gospel. Yeah.
All gospel.
So it's,
which is just a wonderful, church. You know.
It's so joyous.
Yep.
Yeah.
And celebratory.
Now, yeah.
Coming from a white Jewish girl, I just love listening to that music. It's,
yes.
And there's nothing, it's interesting, and I'll just take a little sidebar here. I get sort of uncomfortable when I go to church and I'm just hearing like hymns and stuff like that, and they're very Jesus-y. But I don't feel that way with gospel. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's just the content is pretty much the same, but the style and the exuberance and the passion is very different.
Yes. Because, the psalm says, praise God with cymbals and harps and with your voice. And so that's what we do. We have the incomparable Maddie Robinson, who is our musical director.
Yep.
Is a wonderful gospel musician throughout Austin. She's played at many, many churches in Austin. And so she really tickles the ivory. So we've got bass player Freddie Marshall who plays bass for Austin Heat, and then a drummer. So it's a lot of good music. And, of course, the vocals are presented by some of Austin's finest on stage in the theater, as well as in the gospel world. Judy Arnold being one of those.
I was like, Judy Arnold is definitely one of those.
And another, and a whole bunch of who's who.
Who's who's.
Who else
got,
is in
I call them the three J's. Judy Arnold, Jackie Cross,
yep.
Janice Stinson,
yes.
Dorothy Mays Clark, Rebecca Bryant, who mm-hmm. plays the young woman, who's new to the Austin scene. She did recently The Wiz with Austin Playhouse, did Dorothy. And then we just recently added Carla Nickerson.
Oh,
who
whoa.
Just
Boy,
finished
really
the run
just
with
like...
of Satchel Paige and the Kansas City Stars,
yep.
along with Mark Pouet is in the show as well as the lone male voice in the show.
We just love Mark.
We love Mark.
We love that whole cast.
I was like, everybody in that cast.
Such a great group.
I mean, I'm going to say this right now. If you told me that show is elsewhere, I'd go bananas about that cast. But how lucky we are to live in Austin
and have, right.
and have all those people around. We're so lucky in our city.
We really are. Is the band on stage?
The band is not on stage. Okay. They're right off stage.
And the play takes place in a church, does it not?
Takes place in a church in Mother Shaw's church. Judy can say the name better than I can.
Say the name, Judy. Oh, maybe not.
One of the churches. It's several different churches.
Quite a few churches that are listed in the show.
All right. It's okay. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
we'll just say it's
a church. Oh, so it happens in multiple churches.
Yes, it does.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't remember that. But my memory is feeble. And we talked, Judy, before we went on the air about maybe you giving us a little bit of a cappella.
Sure.
You want to do that?
I don't mind it.
Great.
All.
So set up what we're going to hear.
Okay. We're going to hear Mary, Don't You Weep.
Mary,
and
Don't You Weep.
Billy's going to do some backup singing.
And
oh, yeah.
Now, and you have to remember this. I'm doing what Jackie and Janice and Dorothy would be doing, and Carla. So okay, I'm not them, but we'll do what we can do.
We'll keep that in mind.
And it's Mary, Don't You Weep.
Okay, so this is Judy Arnold and Billy Harden doing a song.
Oh, Mary. Oh, Mary. Oh. Mary, don't you weep. Don't moan.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Listen, Mary.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Tell your sister to don't moan.
Tell Martha not to moan.
Pharaoh's army.
Pharaoh's army.
All of his men got drowned in the sea one day.
In the Red Sea.
Yes, they did. Mary, oh, Mary, don't you weep. Don't weep.
Don't weep.
Go home and don't you and your sister moan.
Tell Martha not to moan.
We're going to review the story of two sisters.
Mary, don't
Called Mary and Martha. They had a brother named Lazarus.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
One day while Jesus went away. That day, old brother died.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
Oh, Mary, don't you. We're running to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Master.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
My, sweet Lord. Oh, Lord, if you.
Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
My brother wouldn't have died.
Oh my God, that was great. You blew out our microphones, but that's okay. I forgot to warn you to physically back up when you belt. But that was great. So I apologize for some of the hissing that we got on those bigger things, but what a great song. And you know what? You're giving Jackie and company a run for their money with those backings. Sounds great. Now we get to hear all that with musical accompaniment.
That's correct.
Yeah, now y'all have already opened?
We open, yes. We have one more week. A short run, so we have shows on this Thursday through Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 5 matinee.
Where are you playing?
Austin Playhouse.
Wonderful. Well, we're happy to have you here on the show. We're thrilled that you're doing this show, and what a great thing.
Well, thank you for having us.
That was exciting. George Strait and Judy Arnold in less than 24 hours. That's a good time.
Okay, that was Billy Harden and Judy Arnold of Spectrum Theater Company's production of Crowns, playing at the Austin Playhouse through March 20th. For more information, you may visit spectrumatx.com.
And we, .org.
.org.
Both.
Or both. Okay.
Either.
Either. Like that, .com or both. .org. Here we go. We'll be back.
And we'll go.
Okay, that was great.
That was awesome.
That was great. We
good times.
Very good times. So we did another hour here. So next week and the week after that, you are on your own. I am not here at all.
I know.
Do you have co-hosts lined up?
I'm going to use a special co-host because he happens to be in town, and I'm like, I'm going to take advantage Who's of that? You while you're here. One, Kevin Bailey. And he's an interesting cat. Kevin was in the original cast of The Lion King.
Okay.
But he's done a lot of Broadway shows, but he wears a lot of hats. He's kind of like you, Lisa. He runs a theater company. He does management. He executive produced Anne on Broadway.
Lovely.
So he wears many different hats, works with Jason Williams.
Can we sing
too,
a song?
So we can.
Kevin Bailey, won't you please come home?
Yes, he'll love it.
Yeah.
So, and he's a pistol and knows a lot about theater, so I'm
wonderful.
I'm excited.
So great. So, folks, remember please to like us on Facebook. Why?
Because we're awesome.
Because we're insecure.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
Awesomely insecure.
We need validation. Tweet us on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Stitch us on Stitcher.
Yes.
And then, you know, you can get the answer to the trivia question, and you can learn more about our guests by joining us backstage. How can folks do that?
Oh, best way. Just go to offstageonair.com and enter your email address in the little box to the right. And every week, Lisa and Nicole just appear. We're there in your mailbox.
Right,
the
in
show
your mailbox.
Comes to you.
Offstageonair.com and just throw your little name in there.
But you know what else? When they like us on the Facebook, they need to go review us.
You should
on
give
the
us a little
iTunes.
Review. Say something nice on the iTunes.
Again, how you love us.
There you go. So coming up next is Austin Monitor News.
Yes.
And Nicole and I are going to be back next week. But you want to stick around if you're listening on the podcast, because we're going to go backstage right after this.
Backstage
we
is
haven't
fun.
Been backstage in 2 weeks, so this
no.
is good.
And there's a trivia answer.
So keeping with our political thing, this is from Vote the Musical, which is done at Theater Under the Stars in 2011.
This is a Texas thing.
Uh-huh. And this is a diva president, which I just love. We see y'all next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, folks.
I'm all Jackie O with some Evita Four Spice. I'm serving Oprah with a side of Condoleezza Rice. I'll be your diva.
Okay, the curtain has just come down on Traffic Jam, the musical. The story of a hapless young couple trying to make it through I-35 when Michelle Obama visits the city.
Honk, honk.
And their travails, and the honk, honk is the title song.
Don't block the box.
Don't block the box. Well, here we are backstage. I feel like we haven't been back here in a long time. You know, there's additional broken Coke bottles back here that there aren't typically.
Well, that's why last week I chose the song So Come Out of the Dumpster.
So Come Out of the Dumpster. So joining us are just about everybody that was in the show earlier, Billy Harden.
Harden?
You did not join us backstage last time.
No,
I believe
I did
not. You scooted away, so this is good.
This is my first time.
You did have to scoot out.
And Judy Arnold, I'm not going to make her speak because she's
speaking.
Otherwise engaged. Indigo Rael.
Yes.
Who I was just informed that I've been mispronouncing her name,
it
so
happens.
I apologize. And Lowell Bartholomew.
Hello.
Also, I learned I've been mispronouncing his name for several years now. Didn't
what were
even
you
know.
Saying?
I'm Bartholomew. And it's Bartholomew. Oh, get it? You, me. You've probably heard that before.
It's always all about me.
So, well,
to get a sound bite.
We need to start. we're going to start off by getting the answer to the trivia question. And while I sort of stall for time as Nicole.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Give us
discussing
again.
Barbara Cook and the 1963 cult classic She Loves Me. So, when Jerry Bock and Sheldon Harnick wrote over 20 wonderful songs, one of Amelia's finest numbers is Will He Like Me, which earlier number did this song replace? A, Heads I Win. B, Seasonal Pleasure. C, Tell Me I Look Nice. D, Christmas Eve. Or E, Hello Love.
Anybody have any guesses?
Yes, C.
Billy's
hello.
Guessing
okay,
C.
Okay, we got a Hello Love.
I'm guessing Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Okay.
B.
B. Seasonal Pleasure.
E.
And I was going to go with A, just so that we're like okay, all you completely know what? Across the board.
I'm going to say one of you might have this correct.
We might have a winner.
We might have a winner. It was C, the song Tell Me I Look Nice was replaced by Will He Like Me.
There you go.
Heads I Win was actually added to the London production for Alona, not Amelia.
There you go.
I knew there was I didn't know which song. I knew they had added one for the different character. Interesting. I didn't know the answer to that, too. And you know I love that show.
Yeah, I do. I do. Lowell Bartholomew. Mm-hmm. How does one get into sound design?
I don't know. I have some sound design friends that would probably hate me.
Were you one of those kids that walked around with their tape recorder and recording things?
Ooh, yeah, sound actually effects. Deny that, but I did. I found an old reel-to-reel tape recorder in our house, and I would just record. I would record the television and listen to it later, and then I would audio describe it because there were some of the visual jokes. It's a very depressing, sad, nerdy childhood.
No.
I didn't start out in sound design. Design-wise, I was really a video designer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because you do video as well.
I was about to say, you're multimedia man,
quite
honestly.
That's what I mostly do as far as design goes. And then sound was just something I would do it for shows that I directed because, you know, I'm cheap, especially when I'm not paying myself. So so I did it for that. But really, my sound design career really started because of Mark Pickell doing a show called Punk Play a couple years ago, which he brought me in to do a video design for. And when I read it, I said, I wouldn't normally do this, but can I just go ahead? You know, would it be cool if I did both sound and video just because I had a real connection to the play?
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And then ever since then, I've kind of been doing his shows and a couple of it's picking up.
But you do video for a lot of other theaters, too.
I do video design quite a bit.
Yeah.
When it's, yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Balmer. I can tell you everything there is to know about Balmer because I watched every episode of The Wire.
That'll tell you a lot.
That's why?
Yeah. So if you need to know anything about Baltimore or police work.
Yeah.
Great job. I thought you were going to say because I watched Charm City Cakes.
The corner of the first payphone that they put the wire on in the first season is about like a mile and a half from my house.
There you go.
Interesting.
So what brought you to Texas?
I was actually born in Texas originally. I was born in Texas unoriginally. I was born in Texas.
That's you, Lisa.
Family moved to Baltimore. And out of all of my siblings, I was the only sibling that was born in Texas. And then they all ended up here. And then I was like, well, I'm absolutely not moving there because that's what all my brothers and sisters did. So I avoided it for a long time. And then I moved to L.A. and wanted to leave. And actually, because of Alan Robertson, long story,
uh-huh.
I came here for a month in October. It's important to say it wasn't the middle of the summer. And then at the end of the month working on a show, it was like, I'll just come back here. So I ended up in Austin.
I think that's where we met. Exactly.
Yes, and then we worked on
that cartoon voiceover.
That
thing.
And Dark of the Moon. At
yes,
the state.
Exactly.
What
Long
was that? So
time
that was
ago.
At Zach.
What did we do at Zach? I don't know. It was when Alan first got there.
I don't remember.
Was it one of the musicals he wrote?
Probably was some of the no.
Or was he his musical?
Was
well,
it a musical,
was musical
that
directing?
Was in.
It could be anything.
Yeah. And you were doing sound.
Well, and Billy, you are a educator, are you not?
I am. I was a I worked with young kids for a long time, and then I went into teaching at high school level.
Uh huh.
And then went into administration at the middle school level as an assistant principal.
Oh,
and
that's like all
a,
over.
High school principal.
You're the assistant principal. You're the hammer then.
I'm the hammer.
You're the hammer.
I like
you're
that.
The person we were all afraid of. And so what are you doing now?
Now I'm executive director of the Spectrum Theater Company, so that keeps me very busy. Yep. And we have an educational component to also manage that as well.
Oh, great, great. What are y'all doing educationally-wise?
We work with Texas Preparatory School. It's a charter school in Northeast Austin, and we do classes there. And then we teach classes on the weekend there as well.
Excellent. Oh, now, were you really a theater teacher back in the day?
No, I was not. I was not even in theater in high school or
college. What brought you into theater?
What brought me to theater? And I was a musician, so I played in an R&B band all through college. Keyboards, piano,
keyboards,
and
organ. Okay, I've heard of those.
And then I became a church musician, so I knew how to perform already. And I got into theater kind of through Boyd Vance. Wow. And some friends of mine invited me to come to an audition for Bubbling Brown Sugar, which was the first big show Pro Arts and Boyd was doing. And I actually went there to find them someone to do this role called Checkers Clark, who was co-starring with Boyd and Carla Nickerson. It was Carla's first show as well. And a guy named Ron Himes out of St. Louis was here to direct, and he cast me then. And then Boyd was doing Ain't Misbehaving after that, and he liked what he saw me do, which he didn't realize that I was completely lost and didn't know what what I was doing.
You were faking it too.
And I was faking it, and we became friends. We were friends all the way from that time. That had been like 1985.
Yeah,
or so.
Wow.
And so from that point on, it was just kind of one show after another, and I just started taking some classes, and being around Boyd and being on stage with Boyd and being directed by Boyd is a theater class within itself.
I would imagine. I did not know him well because I moved here right before he passed.
Yeah, it's just you and I moved right before. I'm sad.
So speaking of that, we talked about the sadness of his passing, which also seemed to be the passing of Pro Arts Collective.
Yes.
But so from the ashes of Pro Arts Collective has come Spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell me about the genesis of that.
For several years after Boyd passed, Lisa Bird and Carla were working with Pro Arts and still producing some things.
Right.
Mostly they were focusing more on the arts and some dance thing. A couple of shows I was in for them through the years and still trying to work through things at other theaters. And then kind of went away, and there was really nothing going on anymore. And we were all going our own separate ways, working at different theaters. And 2013, Carla and Janice and Jackie and I were just kind of sitting around having lunch and just said, guys, we need to do something about this. There's a void there since Boyd passed away. And it, at that point, almost had been close to eight years. And We decided to meet about it and started talking about it. We saw that there was a theater festival in Atlanta, and we wanted to go see what other African-American theater companies were doing around the country and get some ideas. And a local playwright, Jeanette Hill, had written a play that she wanted some people to read. She was taking it to Atlanta.
I love Jeanette,
She's a lot of fun. So we went and helped her to read that play, and we won first place at the thing. And we said,
you
know what?
I remember all this.
We need to come back to Austin and get something going. And so that we started looking for other performers. We brought Judy and some other people on board to kind of help us build a team. And so from that, we started building the team. And last year, we produced our first show, which was pretty fire. It starred Felice McDonald. And from there, we've just moved on to...
Well, I am thrilled that you're doing that. We talked a lot about the lack of African American voice in the theater community here in town, and so it's really important that you're doing it.
Thanks. Well, it's fun.
For a town that has a diminishing African American population, it's really important.
It's important on so many different levels.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Well, we're glad to be doing it. We're glad. I feel privileged that group of actors and professionals thought it would, I could do the job of leading it. I feel very humbled by that because they all know a lot more than I know about this. But I took it on and I'm kind of leaving education a little bit behind now. And
you're very Papa Bear like. I can see you as the leader. I'd be like, Papa Bear, lead me.
I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I feel blessed to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, that's great. Indigo, where are you from? What's your story?
I grew up in Amarillo, Texas, in Dallas.
Did you take the
North
bus
Dallas.
From Amarillo?
No. I didn't.
That's a whorehouse reference.
Well, I was going George Strait, Amarillo by morning.
Yeah. When I came to Austin, though, I had never seen so much nature built into a city.
Really?
And
really?
I was just amazed. I was like, whoa, there's water here.
How big is Amarillo these days?
It's fairly fair.
It's grown. I mean, it's grown since
it's got at least now, two right? Walmarts. That's how you tell how big a city is, right?
Yeah, it was That's nothing like way back when I was.
Did you do theater in Amarillo?
No. Well, I grew up in. I grew up for the first part of my life there, and I did theater in high school at in Denton, nearby Denton. And actually, my first
what town?
Lake Dallas, Texas.
I know Lake Dallas very well.
You do?
Well, I went to school in Denton.
Okay.
Back when it was dry.
Yes, and Lake Dallas is the liquor town.
Supplied liquor.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. You were a frequent visitor of Lake Dallas.
And as a matter of fact, in several of the, we'll take a quick sidebar here, several of the attempts to get liquor by the drink in Denton, the lobby from Lake Dallas kept it from happening because that's how they made their money.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, as soon as you hit that town line, there was just a wall of liquor stores.
Well, to keep into theme of the day, you got into the politics of booze.
Got into the politics of booze.
Indeed.
So you grew up outside of Denton in Lake Dallas doing theater. Does Lake Dallas have a theater company?
They had, well, no, we had a really great high school theater program. I was really involved in that. I got to be the president of my thespian society, and
Troop
I also
19
yeah
1975.
I also got to be the student state board chairperson for the Texas Thespian. So I got to help organize the Texas Thespian Festival, which was a really
now,
cool
does this
leadership
festival still
opportunity.
Happen?
Yes, the Texas Thespian Festival.
Is it in the same
place? They used to be in Corpus Christi, and they moved to San Antonio, and I think, you know, they take turns.
I
want to
go.
Maybe they're getting up 35, and they'll make
it
here.
Come here.
It's fun. It's a lot of high school students.
And do you do musical theater as well?
Every audition in high school that I tried to go out for musical, I kept getting assigned the role of stage manager. So.
That's the story of my life, too.
But I don't mind the leadership opportunities. That's fun.
That is great. And you're working with Creative Action here, which is an incredible group.
Oh, my goodness. When I first got hired there and I walked into their center and saw all the other teaching artists, I was blown away. I was like, these are celebrities. These are Noel Gallen. I get to work with him every day, and Caroline Reck. And I mean, just like Michael Joplin works. I mean, I'm just like, this is your secret life. Your other, you know, they take off their costumes and they become teachers. And it's really amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. We love the work that Creative Action does. We talk about how
arts education is the other thing.
How important arts education is.
All the time.
Yep.
And we do a lot of work with just being courageous allies and making sure we take these privileged kids or, you know, I work with a privileged school, but
it's important, and that's
provide
you can
some enlightenment.
Teach them about their privilege, because that's one of the hardest things that those of us with privilege don't understand.
Right.
We don't get the privilege we have.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Keep doing that work.
Yeah. We got some movers and some shakers.
Judy,
backstage
you a mover
today?
Are you a mover and shaker?
Yeah, I do a lot of acting in churches and different places.
Where'd you grow up?
I'm right here in Austin.
Right here in Austin.
True right Austinite.
Billy, you too?
Yeah, we grew up together. Judy,
you
when
both
I was
together.
When I was a gospel music person, we have a musical, big musical every year. She was always our guest.
Wow.
Sometimes we had to almost sit standing on a box and sing. I think you started that when she was like 5 or 6 years old, and she would come and sing.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So you did a lot of singing and gospel. And when did you start acting?
In 1980.
1980, you're very specific about the date. What happened in 1980?
I was with the Afro-American Players, and my first show might have been the Amen Corner.
Okay, so the African-American Players, I'm not familiar
with that. That was Glodine and Freddie Gardner.
Freddie Gardner. They were here during my college days, a little bit afterwards. They had started, they both had come here for theater at the University of Texas.
Uh-huh.
They were two students who were here, and they saw that need the way Boyd did. And then a few years later, they moved to Dallas in a right about that time, Boyd showed up.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I didn't know about the African-American players either.
So that's where you started. What was the first show?
The Amen Corner.
Oh, you said that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't listening.
Yeah. And then it just went on, trickled down to, I was doing 3 shows in 1 year.
Wow. Are you always doing musical shows?
Well, not really. I was in Proposals in California.
Uh-huh.
It's a Neil Simon show.
Yes.
Los Angeles?
Yeah. And Riverside.
Riverside. Uh-huh. Awesome. That's cool. Did you live in Los Angeles?
I lived in San Bernardino.
Okay. And how long? When did so?
And that was 18 years ago.
So you left Austin, went to San Bernardino?
San Bernardino, and that was in 1988.
Okay.
And then I was there until 2003. Did you? And that's when I did Beehive.
Oh, cool. You did Beehive. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's how I know Miss Judy from the Zach.
I don't think I've ever seen Beehive.
Yeah, for the 60s musical, all the girl groups, the Shangri-Las, the Chiffons, Aretha Franklin.
Did we not go to that together?
I don't think we did. I don't think we did. Yeah. So, did you study music or theater in school?
I started music. I majored in biology and music.
Biology and music. Wow.
Yes.
Or biology in music.
Biology and music, because my first job was in medical records at Breckenridge Hospital.
Oh,
and so I loved being around people, and then music was always my side, and I always wanted to do that. So I majored in both of them at Houston Tillotson. University.
Awesome. So what's your, I just saw the theater over Houston Tillotson the other day. It's really a nice little space.
Oh yeah.
And it has skylights over the stage.
That's kind of cool.
That they can black out.
Right.
Which I found very interesting.
We're trying to work with them to get a real theater program there, and they've been in conversation with us. So.
Yeah, that,
well,
y'all,
the history behind the school, that would be so awesome to incorporate that.
And we're both graduates of Houston
Tillotson. Oh, yes, the alumni.
Yes.
So, Judy, what's your favorite musical?
My favorite musical is...
you're supposed to say Crowns
Crowns.
Other than Crowns.
Well, you know, they've all diverted to just different shows to build me. And so I would say Crowns was the most one that I really like.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so happy that all of y'all joined us back here backstage.
Yeah, this is a good little backstage.
It was good, and welcome back to us.
I know, and then we're on hiatus again.
And we're on hiatus again, unless you get brave and want to do it. Thanks for joining us backstage. Be careful of the dumpsters and the steps on the way back into the theater.
Bit me.
We have no insurance, but please get a tetanus shot.
I'm not going to sue, but...
All right, guys, we'll see you later.
Thanks.
Thank you.
How does a female Fräulein heir of a Pole and a pastor raised in the wake of a Second World War in Eastern Germany? Did confidence empower little Angela to turn into a chemist and a chancellor?
And they didn't even know her name! What's your name, girl?
Angela Merkel. My name is Angela Merkel. And there's a million things I'm gonna change. Just you wait.